You want to follow along, you can find the page numbers, I guess, and follow along. I like that. Heavenly Father, as we come now to read your holy word, may we understand from deep down within us that this is your word. It's not the preacher's word. It's not even the congregation's word. It's not even all the angels' words. These are the words of God. So send now your spirit into this scripture reading, he who wrote it, that we may believe it, that we may trust it, that we may accept it. So illuminate our hearts and minds now in Christ's name. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, and then we're going to pop on down to the 26th through the 27th verses. Again, as you probably get it, looking at your scriptures and Bible readings and sermon titles, I've chosen here in the midst of the Pentecost season to preach on the Holy Spirit. Probably you've heard a few sermons already on that in the Pentecost season, but I'm going to offer you mine. And it's from my own heart and experience as a witness of God's Spirit in my own life. And without him, I would not be here. Without him, I would be dead in the ground. Without him, I would be lifeless in terms of what I can do and the gifts that I have that I wouldn't be able to use. So, this is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. He's been talking about, Paul has been talking about sinful man, and now he gets to the righteous man and woman. And so this is what he's saying about us. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. These are so important words. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, amen?
Amen.
We believe in a new life, in the life to come, a better and more beautiful and more wonderful life, in a new world. It's all new, coming. But only the Spirit can do that for us. The Spirit lives in us. And there we go on then. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we do have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature. Our obligation is not to that part of us that wants to sin. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, now listen to this, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. You are a son or daughter of God because of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit himself is testifying with your spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. We'll get it all. Whatever God has is coming to us. If we are children, then we are heirs. They're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. Co-heirs of everything that Christ has. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory. And then I want you to drop down, if you're reading with me, to the verse 26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not even know what we ought to be praying about. But the Holy Spirit himself intercedes. He is pleading for us. Even Christ is pleading for us as we sit here today, with groans that words cannot express. And he, meaning God, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. Here endeth the reading of our epistle from Paul. May God bless to us this portion from his holy word, and may we not only just read it and think, oh, that's nice. May we read it and say, that's about me. That's about me. It offers me life. Now, if you'll turn in John to the 14th chapter, one of the most wonderful chapters that we have, where Jesus is comforting his disciples after he's told them that he's got to go to the cross, that he's got to die for their sins. And he comes down finally after he's told them that in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you I'm going there to do what? Prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He just told them that. And now he gets a little further on. And here's where he promises them the Holy Spirit to be a comfort. The word is parakletos, or kletos, however you want to say it, in the New Testament. It means comforter, helper, ally, friend, somebody who'll stand in battle with me, somebody who'll be there and walk hand in hand with me through life, the good days, the bad days. How many of you have had a bad day in your life? Have you had one or two? Maybe three or four, huh? And he's walking with you. That's the promise. The Holy Spirit of God is bringing Christ, his hand to your head in blessing, and to your hand in comfort. Don't you like to have your hands held once in a while? I had a gentleman, I just had a funeral for him. And for his wife, I'm sorry. A wonderful man, a good friend. I went to see him after the funeral. And we were sitting there in two rocking chairs, you know, like old guys. And he's telling me about a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden, he just broke down. And he started sobbing. And he told me, I miss her so much. And I said, well, you're not alone. We all miss those who have gone from us for a while. And so I just let him cry. I didn't try to give him any more word than that. And then he said, you know what I miss the most? Lying in bed at night alone, and I wake up, and I look over there, and I think she's there. And I reach out to take her hand. We held hands when we were sleeping. I miss that. God's holding your hand, no matter what's going on in your life, in the world. God is holding your hand. And here's what he said. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit to hold our hand. If you love me, you're going to obey as best you can what I command. He didn't say best you can. I said that. And Jesus said, I will ask the Father in heaven, and he will give you another counselor, comforter, helper, friend, ally, man who will stand in battle with you, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it doesn't see him, nor it doesn't even know him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I am not going to leave you as orphans. I am going to come to you. Jesus promised, I'm going to come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, Jesus said, you are going to live too. And is there another follow-up? 25, 27, yeah. Now, this is Jesus' final words on the Spirit. All of this that I've told you here tonight, all this I've spoken while I'm still here with you in the world, you have heard. Verse 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will bring it all back, and you'll be able to write it down like this. I do not give a peace I leave with you, he said, my peace, the shalom of God, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not ever be afraid. Amen. This is the word of God. I hope you're expecting a sermon. You know, it's funny, the secretary said she was going to have some surgery done somewhere on her knee or somewhere. When I talked to her and she said, is it possible you could get me your stuff for next week early? So if you don't want to come next week, I'll read you the second one too. It's right here, ready to go. I'm asking you this morning, maybe for the only time you've been asked today, to think back to the first time in your life that you, individually, you personally, remember asking God for help and getting an answer. How many of you had that experience? Yeah, come on. What about the rest of you? Yeah, okay. How many of you had that experience? Okay, you asked God for help and something came to you from his hand. Now I'm asking you to think about your life today, sitting here in this church, this beautiful church, on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. Do you still believe that God can help you?
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. Say amen if you do.
Amen.
Oh, come on, that's pretty weak. Say amen if you do. Come on, I want to hear this.
Amen.
You're doing good. He helps me. I want you to know that. He helps me every day of my life, whether I'm asking for it or not. And sometimes when I'm not, he gives me something else. And then that makes me ask again, you see. Some days or even some weeks I don't ask. That's true. Some of us just sit there at our table, or we sit there in our chair and we're watching mindlessly the stuff on the tube, or we're just reading something and we're not thinking about God at all. And sometimes he just then intervenes a little bit in our thoughts. And there are weeks like that in my life when I'm so involved in doing my own stuff that I forget about my Heavenly Father for a little while, of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And sometimes, and my wife can attest, I lose my temper. Has anybody ever here lost their temper?
Amen.
Said things you shouldn't have said, regretted them afterwards, had to go and say and eat a little chicken pie, or humble pie, I guess it is, not chicken pie, and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's good for us to do that. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was feeling kind of like that, far away from God, even for the whole week. Just a lot of stuff going on, and I wasn't into it. I didn't take the time that I usually do to commune with him. And this is my usual habit on a Sunday morning like this. After the work on the sermon of the week is done, I ask God, then I sit in my little chair. I don't recline it. I just sit there and rock a little bit in it, and I ask God to forgive me all of my sins that I've committed from the last time to this time. Now, I'm not talking about huge sins. I mean, there might have been one or two of those in my life. Who knows? I do. God does, certainly. But at any rate, I ask him to forgive me. I ask him to bless with his spirit what I'm going to say this morning here in the church. Because it's very important that pastors ask God's spirit to teach them so that they may teach us. I ask God to be with me in the pulpit and in the fellowship of God's people as they have gathered to worship him. And I know that's very important for me.